Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby.
All right. Excited?
Yes.
That's good. There's call to be excited. You know, it's following Jesus is the most exciting thing ever.
Yes.
And wherever you are in the stage of that journey, following Jesus is exciting. It's exciting when you start the journey. It's exciting when you move to that next place. And as you continue to move on, it becomes more and more exciting. It doesn't become easier, but it becomes more and more exciting. So we've got call to be excited this morning. If you're here and you know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, you got call to be excited. If you don't, you're in the right place to find out how he can be your Lord and Saviour. And that is something to be excited about as well. And I'm just going to emphasise that one more time, that being on the Jesus adventure is the most exciting adventure that you can go on. And it's an adventure that doesn't end. It's going to continue for eternity. And that's an awesome thing. And, you know, when we get to that place where we enter into eternity, it gets even better. And I know that we serve a God who is a God who goes better and better and better, or betterer and betterer and betterer, as certain people might use in the vocabulary of ECC. We're kind of developing our own dictionary at the moment, which has words that pop up in texts and emails and that people use. And before, I don't know, 2017, we might have a full book of these Elohim Church words. Present it to people as they come in and say, please read this so you understand what people are talking about. It's so easy to not understand what people are talking about sometimes. And I'm just going to follow on from last week. And now we're looking at One Direction, this month's theme. And we're looking at our vision, our call, our culture as a church, as Elohim Christian Church, who God's moulding us into, who God's calling us to be in this next season. And sometimes it's very easy to communicate something and think it makes sense. And sometimes we're hearing it ourselves, and the person's looking at you blank. And we are called to be communicators. We are called to communicate the gospel. We're in the business of communicating. And people that know Jesus, once you become a disciple of Jesus and you are a follower of Jesus, you're called into the business of communicating. And I was watching something the other day which made it really clear to me how easy it is to think something makes sense, but it really doesn't. And I've been watching some of the video blogs from the making of the Hobbit films. And one of the blogs was about the 3D element of it and them filming in 3D and the concept of filming in 3D. And it was like this 20-minute blog or something. And at the end of it, me and Sam just looked at each other and it was like, do you have any idea what that was about? It's like, I've got no idea. You know, it did not make any sense. But to the guys talking, it made perfect sense. They were coming out with all this big language, you know. It's a bit similar when I get the figures for the church put in front of me. It's kind of like, okay, anybody that's seen The Matrix, I'm thinking I need to turn into Neo to understand them and be able to read them. It's kind of like, but sometimes things make sense and sometimes things don't. And our job is to make the gospel make sense to people. And we were talking about last week to make Jesus known. And to make Jesus known, it's making Jesus and the gospel understandable in a way that doesn't always necessarily seem understandable to us, and sometimes it doesn't seem understandable to other people. And when we start talking about things, you can start to think, oh man, I'm starting to use words that even I don't understand and even I don't know what they mean. But it's our job, we're called to be communicators, every single one of us. We're not all necessarily called to communicate up on a lectern like this or be speaking to groups of people, but we've all been called to communicate. And it's not just the words we use, but everything we use communicates in some way what we're doing and how we communicate the gospel to people. So you have been called to be a communicator. That's like a little side note and a preamble before we get into the message. So last week we were looking at our vision, and our vision is to make Jesus known. And as a church, we want to make Jesus known, and we were focusing on certain elements of that, and we were looking at different bits and pieces of the church as how we make Jesus known. There was a lot of a focus last week on our Sundays, and I'm going to kind of move off of that for this week, and I want to move on to the next stage. And those who are here on Tuesday, thank you so much for coming to Connect Unite We had a fantastic time just praying the vision, praying out the call, praying together, and really strengthening one another. And so I'm going to be working around a few different pieces today, but the main focus of this message is the how of the One Direction. Last week was the why, this week is the how, and then next week we're going to be looking at the who. Once again, not the Roger Daltrey who, but the who as in we are the who. And I want to start by going to Ephesians 4 today. So if we can go there, if you've got your Bibles with you, if you haven't, don't worry. Just listen to me when I'm reading it. And we're starting from verse 1. Wonderful, wonderful scripture this. Really speaking the heart of God. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father, who is over all and in all, living through all. And I just love that it just so speaks to the heart of God. In some the heartbeat of God, and the amount of times it says one in that particular scripture, I love it. You know, one God, one baptism, one Spirit. And in our call as a church, which I'm going to come to soon, there's a real focus on a oneness, and hence in why we went with the One Direction theme this month, because we want to be one going forward as one. We don't want to be going forward kind of in all different units. We want to be one going forward. And how we do that, you know, different people are going to have different feels. We're all going to have a different way of life. Some people are going to connect with people a little more. People are going to feel more drawn to a certain person. But we still want to be going forward as one. And our call is to do that. God is calling us to go forward as one. So if our vision is to make Jesus known, then our call is there to facilitate that vision. If we have been called by God to do something, then He's not just calling us to do it for the sake of it. He's not just saying, do this. There's usually an end result where God's concerned. There's usually a reason why God's saying, do this and do it this way. And so for us, our call as a church is to make, our vision is to make Jesus known. But if we live our call, we fulfill the vision. Does that make sense? I'm just going to say that again. If we live our call, we fulfill the vision. Yeah. And there's so much in that scripture from Ephesians where Paul's talking about being one together and recognizing that, you know, God's pulled you together as one. God has made you one. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we are one with all the body of Christ, all the different denominations, all the different strands, all the different streams. We are one with them. We are one in Christ. We are one in Christ with the Baptist movement. We are one in Christ with the Methodist movement. We are one in Christ with the Salvation Army movement. We are one in Christ with the Church of England movement. We are one in Christ. And that is one level of unity, the church body going forward. And what a demonstration it was a few years ago at Wembley Stadium for all denominations to come together to worship God. And, you know, there were people from all different streams and backgrounds and a whole level of things, you know. And that is the one Spirit of God. We are united as one in that element. But then there's other areas where we start to get to where we're a bit more at one with a certain, I don't know, you want to call it a denomination or call it a stream or call it whatever you want, you know, whatever takes your fancy. We are then one in one way with that particular area, and there's a certain group and a certain way that we connect, and we think, yeah, I'm connected with these people in the larger family of faith, but I'm really connected with these people in some way. For us, we're very, very connected at the heart with Kingdom Faith, and I kind of focused on Kingdom Faith a lot last week, which I had planned to do. Nick came up to me afterwards and said, well, you're just sucking up to Kingdom Faith because we were here. I was like, no, I don't tend to do that. I was planning on speaking about Kingdom Faith anyway. And for us, our heart is connected with Kingdom Faith. They are our apostolic covering. They are the people that overarches in a way that we are blessed so much as a church. And I just want to say that, and what I've recognised and what I know is that as a church, we have to be connected with Kingdom Faith because that's who we're in covenant with. But as members of this church, we have to make an effort to connect with Kingdom Faith as well. Otherwise, there's going to be an element of kind of feeling like you're missing something. Kind of like something's happening up here through the apostolic centre. But if we're not all connected in some way, and there's loads of ways you can connect with Kingdom Faith. You know, you can partner and get the newsletter that comes through every month. You can partner by going down there. You can go to Faith Camp. And Faith Camp is such a big part for us as a church, because as a church, going forward as one mind, one body, one spirit, it makes up a massive percentage of our year and where we go. And because our heart is so connected with them, God really impacts us as a church going forward, and God really impacts individuals there as well, in a way that says this is the heartbeat of what's happening at the Apostolic Centre, and people catch something of that heartbeat. It's hard to catch a heartbeat of something if you can't hear it and if you can't see it. But once you start hearing something, you're able to pick it up. I remember doing something really strange when I was a kid, because I used to struggle to get to sleep. And I remember when I used to sleep at my nana and my granddad's, and I could hear my granddad snoring and breathing really heavy. And I thought, well, he's asleep, and if he's breathing like that when he's asleep, then maybe if I breathe like that, I might go to sleep. So I was trying to get my breathing and the sound in tune with my granddad snoring and breathing and trying to get it deeper. Needless to say, it didn't work. But yeah, I did manage to get the same rhythm, but I had to be able to hear it and I had to be able to feel it. And for us as a church to go forward as one in Christ, that is a massive element for us. That's a big thing. That's a really big percentage of us as a church. And it's a real heart connection, not only as a church, but as individuals, to really key in with the stuff that Kingdom Faith put out there for them, that not only as a church themselves, but the people that they connect with as well. You know, there's a large number of people in the church here who are subscribed to Andy Elms' Breakfast of Champions, and you know, that's something that's a very similar heartbeat as Kingdom Faith, and you can kind of start to see this heartbeat happening. And so I'd urge you as a church, you know, tie into this kind of thing, catch the heartbeat of the Apostolic Centre, catch the heartbeat of what's coming forward from God in that place, because as you do, the heartbeat in this place is going to be more and more in tune and in line with it, and you don't want to have your heartbeat out of beat with what God's wanting to beat here. A lot of beats there. Drop a beat. And for us, as we start to understand God's heartbeat for us as a church, and as we understand it even more, and this heartbeat that's been building over 21 years, that's a heart beating, by the way. I'm doing a strange motion with my hands for the podcast. It resembles a heart beating in my hand. A heartbeat, and that heartbeat has been starting over 21 years and has continued to build, and that rhythm is continuing to beat. Boom, 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 boom. I like hearing a heartbeat, not when you're hearing it for like hours and hours and hours. One of the things that when Elijah was being born is that Sam had to have one of these heartbeat monitors strapped to her just to make sure that he was safe. And for the whole time that she was in labour when we arrived at the general till the time he was born, which I forget how many hours it was now, all you could hear in the background was boom, 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 boom. And it was like, it just became a part of you. It's like actually to go out the room and not hear it was more weird than to be in the room hearing it, because you became so used to hearing this heartbeat going in the background. And, you know, needless to say, I was really happy to be able to hear the heartbeat in the background. But there was one time where something went a bit strange. I was like, what's happening? You know, like, it's fine, it's okay. Something's just come loose. I was like, all right, it's okay. But, you know, it became more strange to be out of the room where the heartbeat couldn't be heard as it was to be in the room where I could hear the heartbeat. And what am I trying to say? That sometimes it becomes more strange. When you get so used to hearing the heartbeat of God for the house that he's grafted you into, you feel more strange not hearing it than you do when you're there and you're hearing it and you're picking it up. And you can start to feel when your heart starts to beat differently. You start to think, oh, I'm not possibly one mind, one spirit, one heart at the moment. I need to get this beat back in rhythm with what God's got for ECC. And that is, you know, Paul talking about that, being together in the bond. And it, you know, it says in here about being together in the unity and in of peace. And some of the version says it held together with the bond of peace. And that's an amazing, beautiful scripture that Paul's written there. So as we start to recognise our heartbeat, as that heart beats, we start to see our vision fulfilled. And we start to see not only people coming into the house and getting to know Jesus through that way, but you're carrying that heartbeat every single day where you go. There's something of your heartbeat that is beating Elohim Christian Church. There's something of your heartbeat that's beating the heart of Jesus for this place. And as that happens, people start to see that heartbeat as well and start to think, wow, that person's of that heartbeat. So, you know, they must be of the flavour of Elohim Christian Church. I got asked a question at a conference that somebody like came up to me and says, "I am so and so." Like, "What flavour are you?" And basically, I was like, "What flavour am I? What are you talking about?" It's like, "What flavour are you? Baptist, Methodist?" I was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, well, we're affiliated to Kingdom Faith." But thinking, you know, what flavour are you? As people recognise your flavour, what flavour are you? And you start to feel different as well, because when you pick up that heartbeat, when you pick up what God's doing, when you pick up what God's heartbeat is for your particular house and your particular tribe, and we are a tribe, and I know Andy Elms talks about different tribes and different churches being, you know, what tribe do you belong to? And to belong to this house, you're a part of the ECC tribe, you're a part of the tribe here, you've got the heartbeat of the tribe of this house. But when you're somewhere else, you can feel okay, even in another church. You feel all right because you've kind of got this body of Christ unity, like was at Wembley, like all these different people coming together. But something's slightly different. Something's not quite there. And the best description I could think of for this was a number of years ago, we got tickets to go to the Super League Grand Final in Manchester. It was Leeds versus Wigan. Obviously, as a Leeds supporter, we were there. And all the family went. That's the family is in me, my brother, my mum and dad. So we were all going there. All the thousands of people were going there for one purpose, one reason, to watch the grand final, to watch a game of rugby, to watch these two teams. So in some ways, we were united in a purpose. So we were all heading to the same place. We were all going to watch the same thing. We wanted a different outcome, but we were kind of going for the same thing. Now, and that was great, and it was exciting, until something strange started to happen when we got in the stadium. And anybody that's experienced this for themselves at any sporting event will know exactly what I'm talking about. So here we are, as Leeds Rhinos supporters, in our yellow and blue shirts. And we've kind of sat there in our chairs, excited, and thinking, oh, it's a grand final, this is brilliant. And as we were sat there in our yellow and blue shirts, we start to notice cherry and white shirts appearing around us. Wigan colours. And we're kind of looking at each other, and eventually it turns out we've got tickets to be in the Wigan end. All the Rhino supporters are down that end of the stadium. And we're surrounded by, we're a family of four Yorkshire women, and with our gold and blue Rhinos kit on, surrounded by a bunch of Lancashire folk in yellow, in white and red. Now, who knows, we started to feel a bit uncomfortable. It didn't quite feel right. There's something of that culture where we're all going together for one thing that we recognised started to change. And it was like, okay, we're all here in one purpose to watch this game, but we're kind of a different culture here. So we were, you know, that didn't really bother me, brother. He'd still stand up and shout anyway. But it's an interesting feeling, and it kind of starts to make it uncomfortable in a way that these are not our people. Kind of like, okay, we're all there for a game, but these are not our people. We're definitely not of one mind, one body, one spirit, and one God, or anything else, you know. So we lost. So that was nice, because people were like laughing at us as we were leaving the stadium and stuff. So it's like, oh, I get a better shirt, yeah. Like, giving us some stick, and so it's like, oh, shut up. Leave me alone. But you understand where I'm coming from. Our purpose was the same, our vision was the same. We were going to watch a game of rugby. But once we were in the wrong end, the people that were surrounding us were of a different culture, they were of a different people, of a different county for a start. Yorkshire and Lancashire, it's kind of like a funny mix, really. It's not so bad I'm out of there now, kind of like neutral. I know, people at home are going to listen to that. I'm going up there this week. I'm going to get like sat down watching preachers of Arthur Scargill and racing pigeons or something to get the Yorkshire back in me. But the difference was there, the culture was different, and it was so evident and it was so clear. But and we sometimes feel the same. We recognise that when I'm not a part of what God's doing, when I'm not one mind, one heart, one spirit, I've got to do something to make sure that my heart starts to beat. And we all probably find ourselves in that point where we might start getting pulled in a certain direction. We might start getting pulled in for whatever might happen, stages of life, circumstances happening, the enemy trying to get in and starting to make our heart beat slightly different, slipping in a different kind of teaching. You know, we have the whole hypergrace teaching at faith camp, kind of saying, you know, don't buy into this like false gospel of saying all this other rubbish. I'm not going to go into that, it's a different preach. But how something that looked like it was of the same heart, mind and spirit came in and started to pull people and we're getting away. It's like, no, get your heart beating back in time with what God's got for his house. Get your heart beating back in time with what God's doing with his church. And that is what God's calling us to do. And I'm going to read the heartbeat of this church. And as I say, as I mentioned last week, there's been a bit of a remoulding and a reshaping of not the vision of the church. The vision of the church has always been to make Jesus known, but how we work that. And those people who have been a part of the church for a long time would have had a vision card. And a lot of the stuff that I'm going to read now is out of that vision card because it's not a change. And the best description I could come up with was what came up on Wednesday, actually, when I was talking to the intercessors. So I'm going to use that one. But it's the same piece of clay. It's just been moulded into a different shape.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, it's the same piece of clay, but it's been moulded into a different shape. And what we've done here with regards to the vision and the call is we've made our vision really simple and just said our vision as a church, our vision at ECC is to make Jesus known. That's it. So if you're a part of the tribe of ECC and somebody comes up to you and says, what is the vision of the church? You would be able to say, well, we're here to make Jesus known. And that's it. It's nice and simple. So you can all remember that now. Anybody can remember that. And that's the call of anybody really who's come to know Christ. But it's the specific call on our life as we link in with this church. And then our call is how we live, how God has called us to live. And as we live this call, it facilitates and sees the vision come to pass. So I'm going to read this straight from here. I was also asked if we're going to get new cards printed. Yes, we will do. At some point, we'll get new cards with this printed up. So here we go. So this is our vision is to make Jesus known. Our call is this. We are called to live by faith, to honour God and others, to live generously and to serve gladly. We are to be a bold, hard-working people who seek to do God's will. As a body of believers, we are to live in one mind, one spirit, one heart, and one vision, recognizing that this church is not being built by us, but by Jesus Christ, in line with his declaration, I will build my church. We are to be a people who live in the fullness of life and joy that comes through salvation, seeing the light of Jesus go out and shine in a dark world. We are called to be a prophetic church who speak God's word, who declare and protect the true word of God as written in the Holy Bible. We are to be a people who are faithful and committed to a life of prayer. We are to proclaim the good news of salvation that is available by repentance through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There you go. That's what you're called to do. If you are here and you've made that commitment to be a part of this place as a church and make this church your home, that is your call to live that way. God is calling you to live like that. And as you live that way, you fulfill not only the call, but you fulfill the vision as well. And we will see the vision fulfilled as we continue to live that lifestyle, as we continue to respond to God's call to us as a church and God's call to us as individuals. And there's a few points I want to pick out today. And the first point is that we've been called to live by faith. And living by faith is an awesome way to live. As I was saying, to follow Jesus is awesome. But living by faith, and that can look on many levels. To live by faith, to come together, and to just trust that God's going to come through. Having faith that God is going to do what God said he's going to do. Hang on to those promises that God's spoken to you. That's living by faith. When God's spoken something to you, hang on to it by faith. We're hanging on to so many promises personally, as individuals. We're hanging on to God's promises as a church. We had a great time on Tuesday night as we were praying these things out and having Brian just pray out that vision of that God had given us and that promise of seeing 400 as a footstool here at this church, and how God's given us a promise that we're going to see over 400 people at one time gathered together as members of Elohim Christian Church. And Brian was declaring that out on Tuesday, and that's living by faith, because that's saying, you know, I don't see it yet. The building's not big enough. We've not got enough chairs. Well, there's nowhere in Barlston big enough to do that. You know, if they can have a sports and music festival at the end of the village in May, which they are, then there's no reason why we can't have a church of 400 people at the end of the village as well. So, you know, and you know, one of the other promises was about this would be an altar at the centre, and we'd also have a pillar at the boundary. Which basically means this is going to be the altar at the centre. This is the place where it kicks off. This is the place where, you know, this place stands, and we're right at the centre of the village here. But God's got something bigger for us going forward. God has still got what is called the pillar at the boundary, which is going to be something bigger, which is going to be something better. And I say bigger and better because, as I've said before, God goes bigger and God goes better. God doesn't digress. God doesn't procrastinate. God doesn't cause things to get worse. He causes things to get better and grow. And as we move into this time, we're going to see that promise, and that's living by faith. You've got stuff you're holding on to for yourself. That is living by faith and saying, God, I don't see it yet. God, I don't know. God, are you even going to do it anymore? But eventually you get to that place like, God, I know that you're going to do something. God, I'm trusting in you. I've got faith in you that something's going to change. Something's going to happen because it needs to. And I've just been having a conversation with somebody this morning and say, you know, well, God needs to do something then, doesn't he? Because sometimes we find ourselves in situations where it's like, okay, God, it is all over to you, because I can't do this anymore. You know, I've come to the point where I'm basically, you know, not powerless as in that kind of powerless, but I'm powerless to do any more in this situation. God, take over, do something with it. To honour God and to honour others, you know. I'm not going to speak very much on that one. I'm just going to recommend reading Honour's Reward again and watch one of John Bevere's Honour's Reward videos, and there you go. That to honour God and to honour others. To honour God is to put God first in all things. And when I talk about putting God first, I'm not talking about putting your ministry first or what God's calling you to do first. I'm talking about putting God first, and that's getting that time where you are with God and he is coming first in those things. He is coming first. You're giving him the first of everything. You're giving him the first of your finances, which is your tithe, so that the other 90% can be blessed. And that's a biblical principle. You know, you give the first 10%, the other 90% is blessed. You don't, then none of it's blessed. Now, I'd rather have 90% of my finances that are blessed than 100% that aren't. Okay? Giving God the first. Giving God the first of your week, you know. Sunday's the first day of the week, officially. Being here, doing this. Coming to church, being a part of what's happening. Give him the first of your week. Giving him the first. Putting God first in everything. Giving him the first fruits. Giving him the first. Honouring his name before people. Standing up for his name before people. Not just getting pushed around and thinking, oh, well, I'm a Christian, so I've got to be nice. Okay? I don't like the word nice. PJD always says nice is a biscuit. Which it is. And I don't like those biscuits either. They're really boring. You know, get some chocolate on your biscuit, kind of. We're not called to be nice. We're called to be honourable and noble and to stand up for God in a way that's respectful and honours. But honours God as well. We're not to be pushed around, you know. Don't be like thinking, like, oh no, I'm a Christian, and kind of like shrink back and not say anything. You stand up, be strong. You know, we're going to be looking at that as men on Sunday. That's, you know, like men, stand up like men, be strong. Be strong. Women, be strong. Men, be strong in the Lord and stand up for God. That's honouring God. Honour God in everything that he's calling you to do. You know, as you honour God, God can pour into that. I was having another conversation with somebody just talking about how, with regards to working on a Sunday, saying how when I worked somewhere else, they were constantly asking me at first, can you work Sunday? Can you work Sunday? We really need you on Sunday. I was like, no, I'm sorry, I really can't. But then eventually, because I was honouring God in that, God was able to take the lead and go forward in that and be able to say, okay, well, I'm going to do something with this. And those people respected that even more. They never asked me to work Sundays again. And not only did they not ask me to work Sundays, but those other times when they'd say, can you come in and work later on Thursday? Like, well, no, because I'm already volunteering doing the church youth club, so I can't. And like, oh, yeah, okay, I understand. Because there was a firm stand made to say, I'm not moving on this, I'm sorry. This is more important to me. I've got to put God first, even before my job, even before what you want, what you require of me. I've got to do that. But God comes through in those things. And it ended up building a real respect in the place, a respect for me and a respect that somebody was willing to stand their ground for God, because it's all too easy in today's society to just let it slip and let it go and let it, you know, fade away and think, well, one's not going to matter. If we just work one Sunday, it's not going to matter. And I've kind of found it does, because once you do, then it's like, oh, can you, well, you did it last week, so you can do it this week, can't you? It's like, well, no, because I only said the once. Oh, I'll put you down anyway. You know, again, giving it the first, honouring God. And others, honouring one another, looking out for one another. I kind of touched on that quite a lot last week with regards to the second cup. And as we move into that, we just looking out for one another, being ready to get round and being ready to take responsibility. That's the where we're heading, guys, on Tuesday at Bob, you know, being men of responsibility and taking responsibility for ourselves. I hereby resolve to take responsibility for myself, my kids and my wife. Is the resolution that we're going to be looking at this Tuesday. So taking responsibility, it's not somebody else's fault, okay? My granddad kind of said that to me when I spoke to him on the phone not so long ago. He goes, oh, yeah, it's always someone else's fault, isn't it? That's a bit of a Yorkshire accent coming out there. Like, yeah, sometimes we just want it to be someone else's fault, but, you know, it's not someone else's fault. You know, we've got to take responsibility for ourselves and our own path and our own call. And we've got to take that responsibility in such a way that we say, I'm going to do something with this. I'm going to step out and do something. I'm going to honour others in such a way that I'm actually going to step out and do something. So honouring God and others, living generously. God loves generosity.
Yes.
He loves, and it's not just talking about money here. I'm not just talking about, you know, give us your money, the kind of Bob Geldof Live Aid call, you know, give us your money. Now, it's not just money. You know, God's going to provide regardless.
That's right.
In every situation, if God's called us as a church to make Jesus known, if God's given us a promise to say that you're going to have 400, he's going to provide for that one way or another, because God doesn't give a promise without the provision. But to live generously is just to love being generous.
Yeah.
It's not just about being generous with what you give, but about being generous with what you receive as well. Allowing people to bless you, allowing to be someone that God can give to. God wants to bless you. He's happy and he wants to bless you. He's a good God who wants to bless when we're walking in the fullness of what he's got for us. You know, God wants to bless that 90% of your finances by you giving back to him the first 10%, which is, you know, that's not necessarily, you know, to pay your tithe back to God isn't being generous, but, okay? So just to think, okay, well, I pay my tithe, so I'm a generous person. You're just giving back to God what's his. Well, the whole thing is his. The whole thing belongs to God. The 100%, everything belongs to him. It's all his. But he's such a good God and wants to bless you in such a way that he says, well, here's 90%. I only need 10. I only need 10. And that's, again, an awesome God. That's a generous God. But don't fall into a trap thinking, well, I pay my tithe so I'm generous, because that's not generosity. That's you're just fulfilling your duty and your call as a follower and a disciple of Jesus by doing that. Being generous is what is above and beyond. And generosity can take many different forms, in many different ways. You know, generous with a smile. You know, just giving somebody a nice smile. You know, some days I can like withdraw into my kind of little world where all I need is somebody just to pick me up and just like smile or laugh or do something a bit funny, and it's like, oh cool, thank you for being so generous with your smiles and your joy, because you've pulled me out of somewhere now. Thank you for being so generous with, you know, whatever it might be. You know, I was still off my appetite last week. Because a bit too much detail. I started puking up on the Monday after the Sunday, so kind of like I'd not fully recovered, so I kind of like I'd lost my appetite. I just did not want to eat anything. But praise God for Pastor Lynn's generosity, because when I'd gone round to see her, she'd got my favourite food in for lunch. Okay, nice bread, olives, Spanish meats, cheese. It's kind of like, oh well, I don't feel hungry, but I'm going to eat it anyway. Okay, my appetite's coming back. One way or another, I'm going to eat that food. And it worked. I got my appetite back. And by the evening, I was able to eat the stuff that I was really off, because it was the last thing I'd eaten before I was sick. Everybody who knows it's kind of like that. That's the way it works. So praise God for generosity in that way. But generosity takes many different forms. And how do you do that? Just, you know, it's easy to be generous when you get to know somebody. and you know what they're like, and you know what they're into, and that's where that whole doing life comes in. There we go, nice bit of Christianese for you again. I was trying to think of so many different ways to like talk about being together without using the phrase doing life, but I was just like, I'm just going to use it anyway. So when you're doing life together, you get to know people and you understand people, and it's easy to be generous because you know what they're like. So Pastor Lynn kind of knows me, so when she turns around and says, oh, well, I've got some meats and cheese and olives in it, it's like, there's somebody that knows me. Awesome. And somebody that's wise, because decided to do things over food as well, which I'd mentioned before. You know, as soon as Solomon had received his wisdom, he sat everybody down to have food.
Yes.
Okay, that's the way it works. Jesus loved food, did things over food. So be generous over food. Be generous with your finance. Be generous with your time. Be generous with your love. Be generous with all the stuff that God's blessed you with. And recognize that he wants you to live generously so he can keep pouring in. The more you give out, the more God gives.
Right.
But God's not going to keep giving it to you to accumulate and store it. Okay, eventually it gets to the point, well, you've maybe got enough now. Start to give, start to live generously with all the different things. And as I say, don't get hung up on the financial element of that, but do get hung up on the fact that God calls us to be generous and to serve gladly. The two kind of link in, and this one links in again with last week and that final cup, which we were looking at, the cup of fulfillment, which is once you've found who you are in Christ and who God wants you to be, that God is calling you to do that. And as he does that, is going to cause you to live gladly and serve gladly, and it's supposed to be fun. I keep saying that. It is supposed to be fun. Okay? We sometimes get this frame of mind that it's, you know, it's got to be a drag, and, you know, pick up your cross and follow me, which means you've got to walk around as if you are literally carrying a cross. You know, doesn't mean that. It's talking about, you know, Jesus was a fun-loving guy. I get the feeling that to be around Jesus was kind of like really life-enhancing, because he was a happy guy. People, like I said last week, he was attractive. People were drawn to him. You know, weren't just drawn to him for what he could do. It even says as he was, when he was younger, before people even knew who he was, it says that he gained favour with God and favour with man, which says to me that he was gaining favour with people even in his young age, because he was a good guy to be around. Good people gain favour with people. People that want to get round you, you gain favour with them by doing that. So serving gladly and being happy, enjoying it. I've been so blessed the last few times we've had our healthy house cleaning mornings here over the last few months, because it's been such an excitement and a buzz, and kind of like people serving gladly. Now you might think, okay, well, I'll just serve him gladly, fulfill the vision and make Jesus known. Very simple, using that as an example. Healthy house, we come together, we serve gladly, we have a laugh, we get together, we enjoy coffee, we enjoy donuts, we enjoy cleaning, we enjoy doing all that stuff. Yes, I said we enjoy cleaning. Strange phrase to come out of anybody's mouth. And you think, well, how's that making Jesus known? How is us serving together gladly doing anything? But the fact that this place looks so good as a result of that, you know, I don't know about you, but some people, when you walk into a place, you start scanning the place. How good does this look? When you walk into a restaurant, you're kind of like, you know, if it's looking a bit grotty, you're thinking, oh man, I'm not sure I want to eat here. You know, I kind of went in yesterday to McDonald's, and it was kind of like, this McDonald's looks cool. It's like, it's busy, but it's cool. Like, the design is cool. I like it here. It's a nice feel here. There's a nice culture here. And as we do that, we create an irresistible environment in which people look and think, wow, this place really honours God. These people are really serious. These people are really serious about their vision because they do something about it.
Yeah.
The serving gladly makes Jesus known.
Yeah.
Serving gladly in this place, serving gladly in our community, serving gladly in your workplace.
Yeah.
Again, honouring people and going that little bit extra, that a little bit above and beyond, where people kind of recognise and think, well, you always stay late and you always arrive early, but you're always happy.
Yeah.
You're always glad. Why is it that you can be living this life? And all these things start to pull together, don't they? And that's just the first line. I'm going to leave it there, because we can get this sorted. But just really looking at living that life, living those things, and anybody that's aware of our heartbeat in a big way will recognise that four of those things are actually our cultural pillars as a house as well, that we're called to live by those cultural pillars: love, generosity, honour, and there's relationship. That's what God's wanting us to do. And as we do that, that's the how. As we live that way, as we live out that call, we make Jesus known and fulfill the vision. But we've got to be doing it in one mind, one heart, one spirit, one vision, one direction. We've all got to be going forward in that same way. We don't want to be starting to feel like we've got a rhino shirt on in the middle of a Wigan crowd. Okay? We've got to feel part of it. We've got to feel the heartbeat. We've got to get our heartbeat in rhythm. If you feel like your heartbeat's out of rhythm with where things are at the moment, get your heartbeat in rhythm. Start to figure out, okay, how do I do this? God, show me. You know, those people that came on Tuesday night, thank you so much for coming and praying on Tuesday night for this stuff and praying into this stuff, because there was a real presence of God here which was enabling us to catch something of that heartbeat and saying, man, yeah, I can see the heartbeat that's happening. I can see that God's doing something. I can see that God is beating the heart of this church in such a way that these people's hearts are going to beat as one, and we're going to move forward in one direction to see this vision fulfilled, to see these promises fulfilled, to see what God's got for us fulfilled, to continue to move into that one, and just to, as it says, you know, that one glorious hope for the future. One glorious hope for the future, Paul says. And we have got one glorious hope as a future. You as an individual have got one glorious hope and future if you're in Christ Jesus. Nothing compares to it. Nothing can change that. Nothing compares in such a way that the one glorious hope that you have in Christ. And as a church, we have one glorious hope going forward, because God has got so much for us. It truly is exciting times. Yeah. And I'm excited, which is a good thing. If I wasn't excited, then we'd be pretty stuck, wouldn't we? I'm excited about what God wants to do with us as a church. I'm excited that the way that God is remoulding the things to enable us to go forward into this generation, into this time. And, you know, stuff's changed so fast. You start to see what's happening. This morning we're praying for the stuff that's happened in Copenhagen, and it almost seems like every week there's something happening now with this, with the terrorism and the stuff. It's like bang, 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 rapidly all the time. But as a church, we've got to be bang, 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 rapidly changing as well. Not changing the word of God, not changing what God's called us to do, not changing the vision. But sometimes we've got to be ready to mould and bend and shape, to be ready to respond to a culture and a society that we don't become irrelevant in such a way that people look and think, well, they've got nothing to offer. We've got the best thing to offer. Everything that's going on in the world at this time, the thing that we bring to the table is the trump card.
Yeah.
Okay, with the thing that we bring to the table as followers of Jesus is the one thing. It is the answer to the problems. And we know that. But we've got a job to communicate that so that other people can see that Jesus is the answer to all the other problems as well, as particularly to their own personal problems. Yeah. And he is the answer. You know, what's the question? Well, whatever question you want to ask, Jesus is still the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Depends, really. Don't take that literal answer and come up and say, oh, well, what if I ask this question? Does that mean Jesus is the answer as well? No. I'm just like, you know, not literally. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. As we live this and we see our vision fulfilled, we are changing this nation, we are changing this region, we are changing this village in a way that is going to see the kingdom advance. And that is a privilege to be a part of. We are privileged to be a part of this church. We are privileged to be called by God to be here at ECC at this time, to be taking this forward in such a way that God is saying, yeah, just rock on, get on with it, do what I've got for you, and love it and enjoy it while you're doing it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.